Good morning, everyone. As you can see, I'm coming to you live from somewhere different this morning. But wasn't that some great singing? I'm so thankful for the Campfire Choir as they blessed our hearts this morning. You know, it was a huge blessing for them to just step out in faith and say, hey, we'll sing and send you some recordings of us just singing around the campfire, praising God. I challenged them and I had to pretty much beg them to do that, and they did. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all. I hope people out there received a blessing from it. You know, that's singing is a great way that God uses to touch our souls, to touch our hearts. And I'm so thankful God stirs me through music. It really paves the pathway to a great service when the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, and you sing songs of Zion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then the whole service just goes great. So I want to thank y'all. I hope and pray that blessed all of y'all's heart. Again, you could have been with any other church. You could have stopped by, and I always say in person, you drove by a bunch of churches, but you might have scrolled through a bunch of churches and you stopped here to be with us. We want to welcome you to DEC and tell you how much we appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate the home folks just being there all the time. You know, I really just want to be just in praise of how, you know, I brought my Bible. I took it out on the beach this morning and I read, and, you know, I did some studying, and I'm so glad that we can take this Bible anywhere you want to go. See, I'm at the beach. Those folks are at the campsite. There's people spread out all over the place this Memorial Day weekend, and I'm just so thankful that I can carry my Bible anywhere I go. But I want to ask you: are you just carrying your Bible, or is your Bible carrying you? And that's what I want to ask this morning. But again, thank y'all. Got a few announcements this morning. If y'all will, please share the word. June 7th, we're going to have our in-house service. Details will come probably on Monday. So y'all will be sending out some letters in the mail, some emails, column posts, Facebook. So it's going to be, the details are going to be all out there for everybody to see. Be looking for that. But also, I want to encourage you to be praying for your fellow believers in Christ. For our church members, there's some people going through some tough times, people who are struggling, some of them emotionally, some of them with hardships in their families. Just pray for one another and ask God to really reveal Himself to each one of those. Y'all, I want to take this time right now before we go any further and just have a moment of silence for anyone. I would ask you to stand if we was in person, but you know, you know who you are if you served in our military. I want to just thank all the families who have service members in their family that they've sacrificed as well. So I just want to take just a moment to have just a complete moment of silence, just so we can take that time to reflect on the people who have gave it all for us to live in this great country that we live in. So if you will, join with me right now and bow our heads, and as we enjoy this Memorial Day weekend, let's remember why we have this weekend. It's for those who some have died, some have bled, but everyone who served gave everything they had for this country, and I appreciate that. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But at right now, let's just have a moment of silence so we can pray for all of those people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this glorious day you've given us. Lord, I want to thank you for this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, as we come, Lord, and we gather around our devices, Lord, to listen to the Word of God. Lord, I pray a special blessing for each one of those families, for each one of those service members, Lord, each one who has served in any aspect of our military, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out a special blessing upon them, dear God. Lord, I thank them for their sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless them for it. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to be in this service. Lord, to fill it, Lord, with your Spirit. Dear God, I'm thankful, Lord, that we can not only tote our Bibles, but our Bibles can carry us everywhere we go, Lord. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're with us every step of the way. And dear God, I just pray for our church. I pray for the church, Lord. And I pray right now that you would, Lord, just humble ourselves, Lord, that we, Lord, that we would see you in everything that happens. Lord, I pray that you just empty me of self and fill me with your Holy Spirit through this. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Thank y'all. So, you know, we usually got several announcements. You know, church is going to look different when we get back, but we're going to do our best to make it as comfortable as possible. But also, we're going to have to ask you to help us out as well. But like I say, the details will be to come. Y'all don't forget to send your tithes to DECworship.com. You can do it on the app. You can mail it to the church. Whatever you would like, we appreciate that, and we ask you just to stay faithful in that manner of servanthood. So with all that being said, let's break open the Word of God today. God's really stirred my heart on this message. I've got 12 verses to read, and if you'll turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 84. And when you get there, if you will, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, as we should just show God some respect as we read His Word. Psalm 84, if you don't mind. And, you know, God's really just pressed on my heart, and this has really stirred in me and revived me some this week. So I hope and pray that you receive that same blessing. So Psalm 84, we're gonna start reading in the first verse. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King, O my God, blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will still praise thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, whose passion through the valley of Baca make a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appear before God." Hey, y'all stay with me, because I know this is some scripture. O Lord, verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day of thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwelleth in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing he would withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let us pray. Dear God, I pray right now, Lord, that your Spirit fill this service. Lord, I pray wherever people are sitting right now, Lord, they will feel the Holy Ghost. Just fill their bodies, Lord. Dear God, I'm just so thankful for those who sacrificed, Lord, for me to be able to stand before you right now. But dear God, I ask you right now, you would take this service and make it what you would have it to be. Lord, empty me of self and fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Dear God, I beg you right now, Lord, if there's someone out there who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, dear God, today will be their day of salvation. But God, I ask you to help me, Lord, just to preach the word the way you've laid it on my heart. Lord, it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So as I was reading this Psalms, and I was really breaking down exactly what David was really trying to say. Well, I say David. You know, the author of this is kind of debated. Some say it was an exiled Jew who was longing for home, and many say David, and that's what God laid on my heart, that this was David just writing this scripture. But as I began to think about this, and we came to the beach, and God really laid on my heart, there's people out here from all different walks of life, you know, different homes, different things, and you know, there's people all listening right now. Some of you are in Shiloh, some of you are in Danielsville, some of you are in different cities around, some of you are not even in Madison County, some of you are not even in Georgia. But we're all here together for a purpose right now. God knew where you would be at this very moment. He knows how I was raised. He knows how you was raised. He knows where you come from, how your mom and dad and them is. He knows how my mom and dad and them is. He knows all this. Yet he brought us here together for a purpose. And I can't wait to see that purpose. But David was in my eyes, David was the author of this psalm. In my heart, I believe that, David was a very special man. He was a man after God's own heart. He did a lot of things. You know, Saul was the first king of Israel, but then Saul's heart became hardened, and then God chose David to precede him. And so when we say David was a man after God's own heart, that means God knew David's spirit, his soul, his mind, and that means his mind was in line with thinking with God. And he was a special man, and he was chosen by God. So I want you to think about that as we go along and we read some of this and we talk about really what David was talking about here. And just think about how, David was, his son just turned against him. After David defeated Saul and David became king, because Saul tried to stop David from becoming king. God chose David to be the second king. He chose David to precede Saul. David knew this, and David was doing everything he could, but Saul did everything he could to stop David. And I want to stop right there. It's not even part of the sermon, but there's some people in your life that is going to maybe try to stop you from doing exactly what God's got in store for you. You may know that God called you to preach, or you may know God called you to do a certain thing in life. And there'll be people that come and they will try to stop you. But if you know it's from God, then you just stay on in God's will and stay on that course. You do what God called you to do, and that's what he did. That's what David has done here. He just kept going, and he kept being in God's will and kept doing that. Was he always perfect? We read in the scripture he was not perfect. But his heart was right and his mind was right. And he slipped away some, but he still was a godly man who seeked God. He longed to do exactly what God wanted him to do. Well, then his son come along, and his son he turned on him, and he got the people of Israel to turn on David, and David he had to leave the kingdom, he had to leave the throne, he had to leave his house, he had to leave all the chariots, he had to leave all his jewelry, he had to leave all his robes, all the food, and he was out in the wilderness, and that's where I think David started writing this psalm, and to start with, he says, "I'm aimable for how aimable are your tabernacles?" And the tabernacle aimable just means lovely, beautiful. And he's talking about the church. That's what he's talking about. The church. That was what they called the tabernacle. Was the church where everybody gathered, and that's what David longed for here. He said, I long for the tabernacle. It wasn't all of this other stuff. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't, his fancy house, his fancy cars. It wasn't his fancy jewelry. It wasn't all of his toys that he had. It wasn't all the food that he had. It wasn't even all the people that he had to bow down before. David missed the church. And I want to ask you, how many of y'all are missing the gathering together of the church today? Because that God has placed that on my heart. And David said, listen, I miss the gathering together of God's people. And you might say, amen, brother, we need to get back to that building. It ain't about the building, it ain't about the seats in the building, it ain't about the floor. It's about the people of God gathering together and worshiping him, singing praises to him, singing songs of Zion to him, shouting for him, telling the testimony for him, preaching for him, reading the Bible for him. That's what the church is. And we can do that right now together in all this place. And you, if you're starting to get cold chills from your head to your toe, me too, because we can come together and worship Christ. Now, I want to come together. Don't get me wrong. I long for the day that we can join together in the same building, on the same acre. But today we can gather together and we can be part of that church, and we can be the church. But I want to challenge you, are you really longing for that? Because, you know, the reason the church is formed is to worship and pray to our Almighty Savior. But also, it's to evangelize. It is to share the gospel, the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, man needs to know about God. So, church, what are you doing to let man know about God? All these people here at the beach, and it's limited because of the conditions we're in today. But all these people need to know about God. And that they need to know that God died for all of them. I didn't say we come from all different walks of life. But God just, Jesus Christ just didn't die. God didn't send his son to die on the cross just for Jews, just for Gentiles, just for whites, just for blacks, just for men, just for women, just for the higher end people or the lower end people. Or when I say that, I mean if you think you're higher end, then Jesus didn't die for you. And if you think you're lower end, if you're down in the valley, Jesus didn't die for you. Jesus died for you and me, for everyone. For everyone who's walking this earth, Jesus died. And he knocks on that door and asks them to come in and die with him. And so we need to tell, the church needs to tell the world about that. And the other thing, it's in my heart, the church needs revival. We need some reviving. We need to put that shocker on, that AED on, and I guarantee you it's analyzing, ready to shock, because it is ready. The church needs a reviving of our need for Christ. And you might say, well, I feel like I'm ready to go to church, but I ain't just talking about walk in the building. I'm talking about being the church, telling people about the gospel, showing the love of Christ, being there for people, loving on them, and just meeting the needs, serving, working, doing all these things. And I wrote down, man can't get everything they need without revival. We need revival in God's house. And If you believe that, say amen. Because, but you know, revival can't really start without the church. Revival can't start without God's people telling people about the loving, saving grace of Jesus Christ. David loved church. Do you love church? That's what I want to ask you today. And again, not the building, not the floors, not the chairs, not the fancy archways, whatever you got, whatever church you meet in, and you know, our church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the amiable, loveliness of God's people. You know, and I started reading, and it says, I even fainted for the courts of the Lord. You know, David had a longing for those courts and passion for the church. But for who? Look in it. It says, out for the living God. Oh, the Lord of hosts, my King, my God. And see, that's so many times we get self in the way and we want church the way I want it, or the way you want it, or the way so-and-so wants it, or the way it used to be. And we need to have church for the living God. It needs to be all about God and His will, His way, and the way He wants it, not the way Dwayne wants it. And I'm so thankful for our church being a God-fearing God, and let the church be led by God. It ain't about tradition. It ain't about showing off. It ain't about coming to church. Y'all listen to me now. I'm talking about coming to the building now. It ain't about coming to church to show off your clothes, to talk to that friend, to show off your new car, or even just because that's what we're supposed to. We should long. We should be just like David.
fainteth for the court, fainteth for the tabernacle. We should want to just dwell in the house of God because that's something inside of us. And if you're lacking that today, I hope and pray that something is said today that lights that fire again, that wants you to be active in the church, that wants you to pray for the people of the church and wants you to serve God in the church. I miss the church. I miss the gathering together. I miss seeing all of y'all. I miss some of y'all telling me, no, I ain't going to sing in the choir, nope. And I'll be looking at you when the choir walks up, and I'll be giving you that eye, and you'll be like, not doing it, nope. Some of you said, if you do this, I'll sing in the choir. Well, I've done this, and I'm waiting on some of you to sing. So what I want you to know is I miss that, and I hope you miss it as well. Some of y'all has told me, the same thing. I miss coming to church. I miss the gathering together. I miss it. I miss feeling the Holy Spirit. But God has put in my heart and really stirred me, because some of you have said that. But when we gather together like this at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, at 6:30 on Wednesday night, you miss it. Oh, man, I forgot about it. Oh, man. I got something else to do. And I'm not trying to step on any toes here. I really ain't. But we need to be gathering together, setting aside that time so we can feel that Holy Spirit, so God's Word can speak to us. You say, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it going down the road. Do you go in a church going down the road? Do you catch half a service? Do you go to half a service on Sunday mornings when everything is normal and catch half of it and then come back and catch the other half later? No. God has pressed this on my heart. Listen, I miss church so much and I miss Sunday so much. I miss Wednesday so much that God has put on my heart people are slipping. And that's what scares me to death. People are slipping. People are slipping on reading their Bible. They're slipping on the praying. See, we've got all this free time to do different things. Some of us do. Some of us are still working, are working overtime, getting everything done. And we're slipping in that aspect because, hey, I've been working so much, I'm so tired. Well, it's going to be tiring serving God. It's going to be tiring telling people. It's going to be tired of witnessing people, testifying. But God says, in me you will find rest. And we have to search for that rest in God. We don't need to slip away in our work. But also, some of us have had some time off, and some people have slipped away. They've done some other things, and maybe they're not reading their Bible as much, maybe not praying as much, and maybe they're not going to church as much as they did. You know, and it's really visible in the number of people who watch, you know, together online. And that's what really God has pressed on my heart. People are slipping. They're catching it later. I don't want you to catch it later. I want you to catch it straight from God's Word right now. Amen? But David, he said, I miss church in my life. I miss the stability. David said, my life is unstable right now. And I wonder how many of you would say, hey, right now my life is unstable. I need this stability. And when I say that, you can find that stability in Christ. If you're having trouble with whatever, you're having hardships and you know, difficult times, Jesus Christ can bring stability through his people in the church. Now, you can get it straight from Jesus too. But when you get off balance a little bit, it's nice to have, if I'm leaning this way, about out of the picture right now, it's nice to have somebody here to stable me up and push their hand out. Say, hey, I got you. I'm walking with you. See, it's nice to have these fellow believers walking with us in the time. They might not be going through the same thing we are, but they're walking with us to help us, to catch us when we fall, to pick us up and help dust us off and get us back on the right track and following Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times, if you're not in church, and that's the biggest lie that is told today. But listen to me. Don't get this wrong. When people say, oh, you ain't got to go to church to go to heaven, I agree with you 100%. You don't have have to go to church to go to heaven. Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, you shall be saved and you will go to heaven. But believe me, believe this, y'all, believe this. And y'all better listen close right here. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you trusted Him with your heart, you confess with your mouth, you've made a public profession of faith through being baptized, and you're not in church, then I'm telling you, you've fallen away from God, because God tells you to not forsake the gathering together of His people. You need to get in a God-fearing church, a Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, and you need to get active. Because if you truly got Jesus Christ in your heart, there's going to be a longing, just like David's talking about here, to a longing to be in the tabernacle, a longing to be with God's people. You're not going to go out and live like the world. So do not let Satan tell you that I don't need it. I can get it from my own house, because in your own house you will become unstable. And I hope everybody out there at the pool is hearing me right now. Whew. I seen a boy yesterday on a paddleboard. And man, he was trying. And I say a boy, a man, probably a 60-year-old man. He was on this big paddleboard and he was paddling. He was doing pretty good. He was stable until the waves got rough. And when the waves got rough, he fell off and the old paddleboard shot straight up in the air. That's some of us today. Some of us are trying our best to stay on stable ground. We're on the paddleboard of life, and we're saying, but the waves are coming, y'all. The waves of life are coming, and there's going to be some waves to knock you down. And the man couldn't hardly get back on the paddleboard because the paddleboard kept slipping away. The waves kept beating him. But if he had somebody there to hold him, he could have got back on. And that's what the church is. And I miss the church. And I hope you miss the church. I hope you're longing to gather together. But we need, don't forsake it. We need people to hold steady in our life, to help us be stable. That's what the church does. And it says, listen now, verse number 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself. The birds of the air go to church, man. The birds of the air have built a home there. They've got their nest at the church, at the tabernacle. If they're smart enough to do it, why aren't we? God provide for them just like He'll provide for us. But stay with me here. This sparrow, these birds of the air, they're raising their kids in the church. We've got, listen, outside of our walkway right there where you walk in our new sanctuary, our gym, but you walk into where we serve right now, where we worship. There's birds everywhere right there. They fly up under that awning all the time. And I want to ask you, parents, where are you raising your kids? Are you raising them on a baseball field? I wrote a football field, golf course. And I'm not against all of that. Y'all know me. But when we put that before God, that becomes a problem. And all of that ability that you're training, how to keep your eye on the ball when you're swinging that bat, hand-eye coordination, catching that football, whatever it may be, twirling that baton, throwing that catching, whatever ability that God has given your children, let me tell you this. When they get our age, it's going to be taken away. Little by little. I mean, if you ask me, I'm getting better with age and everything I do. Just ask Christian. But those abilities that we had when we were young are going to fall away. But the Word of God will never fail. Amen. I can say that again. The Word of God will never fail. You can carry your kids to church, teach them the Word of God, teach them how to live for Christ, and that will never leave them. They will be in their 80s and 90s still going to church, still serving God, because it's the best thing they can do in their life. And if you can raise them up in that, they will not go away from it. They will be there in it. So I want to challenge you, parents, raise your kids in church. I heard a preacher one time. He said he was a drug baby, and we need to raise drug babies. Now hold on, don't turn me off yet. Listen to me. I'm talking about drug babies. You need to drag your kids to church if they don't want to come to church. It shouldn't be an option on Sunday mornings. They shouldn't say, "Well, I don't feel good. I got this to do. I want to stay in bed. I want to sleep. It's my only day of rest." You drag them to church, I promise you, God will bless you and He will bless them for it. So, and I wish I was drugged to church more, but I wasn't drugged. But I just thought that was a great saying. And I got to ask you, how many of y'all have been to our church? If you've been to our church and seen the kids, maybe running up and down when the choir's singing, say amen right here, right now. But you know what? That don't bother me a bit. You know why? Because them kids need to be in the choir as soon as they can get in the choir. They need to sing songs. Now, I'm 100% with you. Kids need to mind in church. But if they're up there and they get tired of being up there and they be twirling their dresses and might not be singing a lick. But if they're up there, I guarantee you, I've seen the Facebook post, the Instagram post. I've got messages sent to me where 2 and 3 year olds are singing the songs that we sing in the choir that they will not sing in front of people, but eventually they will. We're training them to do right, y'all. So don't be complaining when you see a kid running around up there in our church, because when we come back, there's not going to be a nursery. There's not going to be a kids' church. There's not going to be children's church. There's not going to be this. And when they're running, at least they're in God's house. And that's what fires me up more than anything. Do not complain about them little kids crying in our church. That makes me preach even harder, because they need to be in church. Their parents have them in the right place. Don't make them feel bad about trying to raise their kids right. And I'm sorry I got off on that. But that's the truth. We need our kids to behave in church. But we need them in church to behave. Amen. Amen. Woo. That gets me fired up, y'all. I got some more on that. But God's leading me. He's telling me to go on. Go on about your business, boy. Go on to the next one. Well, about his business, not about mine, because if it's about mine, y'all wouldn't be totally off right now. Look in verse number 6. It says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." We all go through bad times, and it's tough. And I want to go back to the kids just for a second. You know, we all, God put this in my mind, and we all got bedtimes and study times and times to eat and eating times and all this, but we all need a church time with our family. If you want stability in your life, in all areas of your life, you need to be in church. But that Baca right there means to weep. That means in the valley. All these verses up to verse number 6 was good. Great times, blessed. Just talking about good stuff. But then we hit verse number 6 and it says, who passing through the valley of Baca. That means we're going to pass through it. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to go through hard times. And that's the ebb and flow, and I couldn't help but think the ebb and flow of the ocean out there. You know, good times are gonna come and good times are gonna leave, and the water's gonna be high and the water's gonna be low. And what I really want you to think about is, some of y'all may have, I know some people's got bad reports. Some people's had vehicle accidents. Some people is maybe going through a divorce. Some of you may have been abused, maybe having difficulties in your life. That is Baca. That is the valley. That is. And when we're going through that stuff, a lot of times that people will step away from church. But that's when you need church the most. That's when you need God's people the most to love on you. And I can tell you several people who came to church, was drawn to our church, and was drawn to God and got close to God. And then they was on top. They was in verse 1 through 5. And then they hit verse 6. And they was in that valley. They was in Baker. And they was going through some tough times. And they needed the church to wrap them up. And God fill their pools. And they did. But so many times people come through us in Baker. They come to the church for the first time. And they fall on that altar. And they cry out, Lord, I'm having this hard time with my family. Lord, my son, my daughter. Lord, my wife. Me and my wife are going through a divorce. Lord, I need you. And then the people of God will wrap them up. And God will work through them people. And them lives will be touched. And that marriage will be mended. And them kids will come back to their families. And all will be like it's supposed to be in God's will. It's all because they fell at the altar and give it all to Christ. But Christ worked through the people of the church to wrap them up and love on them. To pick them up so they could take that next step. Because without that, they couldn't take a step. I've seen people walking in weary. I can tell when y'all walk in if y'all have a good week or not. And that's what bothers me so much. Because I cannot see y'all through this phone. All I can see is me standing here looking crazy, waving my arms and all. But I want to see y'all walking through. Not that I want to see you that you feel bad. I just want to see so I know I can pray for you. And that's what David's saying he longs for. But if you're going through that valley, you gather with people. And you let the church wrap you up and you let him fill your pools. And some go through Baker and they stop serving. I ain't reading my Bible. I ain't studying. I definitely ain't tithing. And I definitely ain't going to sing in that choir. People say, why are you always talking about tithing, talking about my money? Well, tithe ain't your money. Tithe's God's money. I ain't even started talking about your money yet. That was God. Thank y'all. But look in verse number. We'll go back up to one. Blessed is man whose strength is in thee. Their strength to be able to stand out of Baal. And it's in Christ Jesus. And I want to challenge y'all. And you get closer to Christ by being in God's Word, by praying to Him, but also being around God's people. And I've seen so many people struggling now. But don't quit serving because there's strength and when you go through those things. But David said, listen. David said, I get to serve. Listen now. Look in verse number 10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. That means he would rather stand outside and open the door for people in and out. Being outside in the weather, in the heat, in the rain, getting drenched, get all in the elements, than he would be sitting in a tent with the wicked. David would rather be outside than be in with the wicked. That's what we should be. We should rather be in the church than outside with the wicked. Because see, the wicked is all out in the world, y'all. And don't get me wrong. There's some wicked that sneak into church. But let me tell you, God will weed them out. God will wrap his family up and take care of them and keep us safe. Man, and that'll be the biggest blessing. We miss our biggest blessing a lot of times because we don't labor for God. Together. Ooh. And I talked about laboring a little bit last week on Wednesday. And I thought about it. Every job has qualifications or standards when you go to apply for that job. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Not being a Christian. There's only one qualification. You know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. If you know him, step on in. We got a job for you. He said, well, I can't sing. Well, maybe you ain't called to sing. Well, I can't cook. Well, maybe you ain't called to cook. Can you walk? Can you pray? Can you clean toilets? And you might say, well, you're trying to get folks to do everything at the church. I'm trying to get you to work for God and get the blessing that he has in store for you. Because y'all know and I know, when you're working for God, there's a huge blessing in store. How about that singing? The Campfire Choir, they stepped up and worked for God today. I tell you, we sent a text out, didn't get no response for a while, and I started calling, text people individually, just say, hey, please, I just think it'll be a huge blessing for y'all, and it would bless me. And I got the first text last night, and I got chills all over me, y'all. See, we had to put these together, and I hope and pray that we get it put together Right, so you can hear it. So if you didn't hear any campfire music, any people singing songs, then hey, you'll hear it one day, because I'm going to make that happen. But if I didn't make it happen today, then I'm sorry. I apologize already. But man, they were singing good. But you know, there's no qualifications. And that's what I miss about church. We're just here to serve. Just here to be sinners saved by grace to serve an almighty God. You might say, well, I work 6 days a week. On Sundays, I like to rest. You work for a dollar. You work for somebody, a company, a man, whatever. I promise you, that company and that man wouldn't want and haven't done what Jesus Christ has, will, and already done for you. He bled and died for me and you. We should give him everything we got. We should give him our first fruits. You should give him when you wake up in the morning and open your eyes when you ain't tired and you ain't gonna fall asleep praying and you got time to read the Bible. You say, well, I ain't got time to read the Bible. Get up 15 minutes early. There's plenty of work for everybody. God may want you to sweep the floors. He may want you to open a door for somebody. He may want you to cut the grass. He may want you to wipe windows. He may want you to clean toilets. He may want you to preach. He may want you to sing in the choir. He may want you to play the piano, play the guitar, play the drums, whatever it may be. God has got a job for you to do in the church so you can get plugged in and be a part of it. And that's all I'm asking. You know, David never mentioned, and I'm closing, David never mentioned all the other stuff in his life. He never mentioned his home, his many rooms. You know what? You know what I've learned over the past night or two? I miss my pillow. I miss my bed. David didn't say he missed his pillow. David didn't say he missed his bed. David didn't say he missed his sweet teacup. David didn't say he missed his jewelry, his robes, his chariots. He didn't say he missed any of that. David said, I missed the church. That's where we need to be also, y'all. Fellowship with believers. Some of us have slipped and we need to get back. And that may be you today. And if it is, I'm going to pray for you. Type it at the bottom, shoot me a text, send it to the Google number, whatever. However you want to get in touch, I will pray for you. But also, I want us as a church to be revived. I want to renew that passion that we have for Jesus. Because y'all know and I know, Jesus came and shed his blood, took that awful beating at Calvary, gave up his throne on high to come down here and live at this dirty, nasty place for the church. The least we can do is gather together and praise him. I can't wait till we gather together again. I hope and pray that you receive a blessing from something that was said or read today. I miss the church, y'all. I miss the gathering together. But it'll just be a couple of weeks and we'll be back together. Y'all pray for the staff and pray for the board and all the people making decisions, because the 1st of March, things was thrown at us and we made the best decisions we could as a group. The amount of responsibilities for us as staff has really grown leaps and bounds and hadn't let up yet. So y'all pray for us. I say all that because I want you to know how much we love you, care for you, and can't wait to be back. Didn't ever really want to stop, but that's what happened. With all that being said, if God has spoken to you through today, if you need to rededicate your life, I want to know about it. If you need to get saved, if you need to ask God, you've never been saved, and you standing here saying, what is all this Jesus Christ stuff you're talking about? I know about Jesus. I believe Jesus did all them things, but you've never asked him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. You need to say a prayer like this. You need to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, but I know you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and make my life what you would have it to be. Save me, O Lord. Amen. I believe you can get saved. But I can't pray you into heaven. You have to do it. So what I want you to do is you call any of us pastors, call the Google number, you email us, you text us, whatever you need to do. And I'd like to lead you through the prayer of salvation. If not, if you've already been saved, you know you're going to heaven and you know you're trying to do your best, but you missed the church. I want you to type, I missed the church. But as we can't gather together right now, let's become a church that gathers together at a point in time and praises and sing. I want you to sing with them when they sing. I want you to pray with us when we pray. I want you to do all these things as if you were sitting in that building. I want to tell you all, I love y'all. I miss y'all. And I cannot wait for us to get back together. Hey, God bless y'all. I want to hear from y'all now. Y'all send me a text, email, that Google number, whatever it takes. I want to know what you're going through. I'm going to close out in prayer, and I hope and pray to see y'all soon. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I praise you for this message you've given me, Lord. Lord, maybe I had slipped, Lord. Lord, I missed the church. Lord, I long for the church. And I thank you for putting that passion in me, Lord. But dear God, I want a renewed passion, Lord. I want to be revived, dear God. I want to be closer to you, Lord. And dear God, I just pray for all of these, Lord, that need that also. Lord, I pray that you just move in a mighty way. Bring them back to the appointed time. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all soon.